This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio with us today. As we come back to the matters of family, church, and state, we deal with all of God's jurisdictions on this radio program because all of them are to submit themselves to the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we bring God's Word to bear in every part of life, and we like to talk to the family issue. We like to talk to church issues and to the state. And today we'll come back to the matter of the church, because the church is essential to the strength of our families, essential to the strength of the faith, essential to the strength of the nation. All these things are tied together. The church is so essential, and yet the church is so broken down relationally, so broken down in terms of the respect people have for the church, so broken down in terms of its irrelevance because the state has displaced the church and its diaconate. The state is constantly redistributing the wealth and ruining the poor and destroying the character of the poor instead of allowing for the church to operate as the church. And so the diaconate's broken down, the eldership's broken down, oftentimes the teaching and the preaching of the church is broken down. The church is so broken down in the 21st century as we continue to deal with the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom in our present day. Well, the New York Times has a high-profile article on Willow Creek, and again, the media likes to air the church's dirty laundry, Steve. And here, New York Times has the article on how the Willow Creek church scandal has stunned the evangelical world. And these high-profile mega churches are not doing well at all. And in this case, it was Bill Hybels who came tumbling down along with the existing church board, recently resigned. And so this is incredible. This is seismic. This is the church growth guru of the 1980s and 1990s, the king of the modern mega church. Bill Hybels has come tumbling down. This is seismic, and nothing's going to put Humpty back together again as Humpty once existed as the mega church growth movement in America. This is the end of an era. This is the end of an age. This is the end of a 30-year experience. An experiment in something that was not exactly God's plan for his church.
Yeah, I just don't see how the mega church, super mega churches like that, can really do what God is calling us to do as as you being an elder, being very personally connected with parts of your flock, and the elder board being very personally connected. Mm-hmm. In the mega church, it's more of the elder board being connected with the leaders who are connected with the leaders under them, who might be connected with some leaders who could be connected with a few people. And so there's so many steps before, so they don't know anybody.
There's something about the model that is not reproducible and will not survive, it seems. But the last 5 years, what have we seen? We've seen a pattern here, my friends, a collapse after collapse after collapse. After collapse of mega churches and mega church pastors coming down and coming down and coming down. Is anybody seeing a pattern here? All the way from the fundamentalist Baptist Jack Shop of coming down in 2013. I believe it was the mega church in Indiana that collapsed some 5 years ago. Mark Driscoll, you remember in 2015. Darren Patrick in 2016. Other evangelical mega churches like Ted Haggard.
Yeah.
He was a little earlier on, maybe 2005, 2006. Perry Noble, 2015. I think he had the largest church in North Carolina or South Carolina. Perry Noble came down in 2015, Tully and Tavigian around the same time. David Janney in Orlando, he came down in 2015. Bob Coy in Fort Lauderdale in 2015. Mark Connolly in Phoenix in 2014. Andy Savage in Memphis, Tennessee just this year. C.J. Mahaney and now Bill Hybels, the king of the evangelical megachurch, has toppled. So what is the pattern here? What message are we receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ, who walks between the candlesticks and yanks a candlestick here and yanks a candlestick over there? What is the message that is coming? What is the Spirit saying to the churches? That's what we're going to answer on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. The foundations of evangelicalism are cracked big time just over the last 5 years, my friends. Multiple scandals, more scandals than we've ever seen in the history of the church in the United States of America. the megachurch pastors, the evangelical megachurch pastors of the last 5 to 6 years coming down. Unbelievable. We have not seen anything like this in the history of the United States. What is Jesus saying to the churches? We're going to ask that question next on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast as we take a look at the New York Times high-profile article on Willow Creek and the demise of Bill Hybels. And friends, this is the sad legacy of the evangelical church of the last 30 years. And here is from the article, the New York Times article, how the Willow Creek church scandal has stunned the evangelical world. I don't think that's a hyperbolic statement at all. Indeed, it has been seismic. The fall of Bill Hybels, seismic in the history of American evangelicalism. And here again, from the New York Times article, the sudden resignation of Willow Creek Community Church's top leaders following sexual harassment allegations against Reverend Bill Hybels, their founding pastor, has shaken evangelicals far from the church's base in the Chicago suburbs. And again, it was a mega church of some 25,000 members, or at least regular attending people. There are few bigger names in the evangelical world than Bill Hybels, and few churches more influential than Willow Creek. Christians worldwide look to as a model of smart leadership. And I don't think they're exaggerating the terms in this New York Times article, friends. They are indeed presenting the case for the weakening, the shattering of evangelicalism in America. Here is from Reverend Jack Graham of Prestonwood Baptist Church of Plano, Texas. He says, when a falling star, a literal star, falls out of the sky, everyone looks at it and notices it and gasps. Yet there are millions and millions of galaxies of stars that stay in their place and keep shining. Well, that's true. There are still the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. But it is our neighborhood. This is happening in our neighborhood. And we do need to take note of this, for this is a significant thing. But don't worry. According to the article, Willow Creek is going to fix it. Tom DeVries, president of Willow Creek Association, says the Willow Creek Association will be developing resources to help navigate the new power dynamics between men and women in the workplace. Wow, that sounds like a Apple Corporation solving the problem. Oh, yeah. You know what? It would be nice if the Holy Spirit of God came and did some massive regeneration in American evangelicalism. Wouldn't that be nice if we had a revisit of the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit of God radically transforming lives? That's what we really need. Well, in this case, of course, the lead pastor has also resigned, and the lead pastor of this organization, the Willow Creek organization, is Reverend Heather Larson. She has stepped down along with her board. 9 members of the elder board resigned on Wednesday night, saying they had made a mistake by failing to believe that women who accused Mr. Hybels of sexual misconduct over many years. As many as 9 women had accused Mr. Hybels in news reports in the spring of a range of violations over many years, including inappropriate sexual comments, lingering hugs, invitations to his hotel room, Earlier efforts by the Board of Elders to investigate more were inconclusive, and Mr. Hybels retained their trust until the news reports were published. In April, as the cloud of allegations thickened, Mr. Hybels said he voluntarily stepped down 6 months ahead of his planned date of retirement, and so forth and so on it goes. I think everyone is still wounded and shocked, said Alan Huizenga, who works for an evangelical publishing house, was eating Chick-fil-A during a lunch break on the grass outside the church. Bill was so involved in Leadership Summit, the Global Leadership Summit, including Denzel Washington, the author Daniel Pink, who, by the way, both canceled their speeches at the event. I feel bad. The story has damaged the church as a whole across the world. We're all failed people. So that is the essence of the New York Times article on the demise of Willow Creek and the step down of Bill Hybels. And what do we get here, friends, but sins abounding upon sins. Sins abounding upon sins. This is what we get in the scandal after scandal after scandal that has arisen amongst the evangelical churches, some of which I listed earlier. And I think we have more scandals today than we've ever seen, including those scandals of the 1970s and 1980s.
Yeah, I remember those.
And these, of course, are pastors. These are people who are supposed to be the shepherds of very, very large churches. A fair percentage of American churches turned over into these large mega churches in order that, of course, the people would eventually be cruelly disappointed by the churches themselves through these scandals that would reveal themselves in time. That's what's happened, my friends. Sins abounding upon sins. And as you know, women grappling for leadership in the church and men giving way to sexual sin is pretty much what happens. What is a woman's sin? What women tend to want to do but grapple for leadership, and grapple for control, and grapple for authority in the church. And what do men typically do? What are the sins that typically arrest the men in the church, but sexual sins? That's the world. That's how the world operates, my friends. Women are grappling for leadership in the home, grappling for leadership in the church. That's what the worldly women do. They're not the meek and quiet spirit. No, no, no. That's not it. That's not what worldly women do. Worldly women will grapple for leadership in the church. Worldly men will give way to sexual sin. And it was Bill Hybels who introduced women leadership to evangelicalism, probably more than anybody else, along with his friend Gilbert Bilezekian, one of the key leaders out of Trinity Divinity School that led American evangelicalism into the morass of women leadership in the churches. And the sexual sin as well in the church, in this particular church, has led to more problems in the church as well. It's interesting how sin tends to have a yeasty element. It spreads around and it affects others in the church, and the result is more sin in the hierarchy down below. And lawsuits have been filed and settled on sexual abuse occurring at this church, at Willow Creek. Sexual abuse of, get this, disabled little boys.
Yeah.
Sexually abused by the leadership at this church. And, of course, this is because there must be some sexual sin in the hierarchy. And this kind of sin is getting the upper hand. And when sin gets the upper hand in the church, Jesus is not present. The Holy Spirit of God is not present. They've obviously offended and grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to pray for the power of the gospel to begin to operate again and transform the post-Christian church in a post-Christian nation. I think this is where we are, Steve. I think we're in a post-Christian church, in a post-Christian nation, and we need to cry out for the Holy Spirit of God to revisit us by some amazing revival where real transformation occurs, because it is the work of God. It is the act of God. It is not the programs of men. It is not the leadership manual that you'll get from Bill Hybels and his church growth guru team that's going to result in the amazing transformation of lives. No, no, no. It's us standing outside of the church with our hands in the air, crying out and waiting and hoping for the salvation of the Lord to come to our churches. That, my friends, is what it's going to take. There's no program involved in setting the people free from Egypt, but to go down to the Red Sea and get your toes in the water, lift the stick, and just wait. That, my friends, is what needs to happen in the church in America. We need to wait for the Holy Spirit of God to come, because, man, until that happens, we're not going to see any meaningful transformation of lives in these churches. And when you begin to see the corruption in the leadership, you know that that's what's going to happen in the 25,000 people attending these churches, maybe with some exceptions. But it appears that the failure of the leadership of the church growth movement in America is an indication of the failure of the church in America today.
Yeah, it seems interesting that the two things that you brought up, the women grappling for leadership and the men, you know, falling into sexual sin, both of those have the same answer. And that is submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Submission to his, mm-hmm. his lordship, submitting to the Holy Spirit and allowing that Holy Spirit to act upon the power that he's placed in you. By becoming in the right relationship with the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. And both of those need to happen. Submission of the females to God and to their leadership that God's placed over them, and submission of the men to the Lord Jesus Christ and the lordship of Christ over their lives as well.
When the men and the women are walking according to pride, according to lust, according to the grappling for power principle, according to the lustful principles, when they're walking according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit, the fruit, of course, will be rotten. And this is what we're seeing in the lives of so many megachurches across America, my friends. When sin is getting the upper hand in the church, Jesus is not present. The Holy Spirit is not present. Peter warns of false teachers that are overcome by pride and lust in 2 Peter chapter 2. Maybe they've got the bodies, bucks, and buildings, but man, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. And this, my friends, is what happens when we begin to see the breakdown of the gospel and the breakdown of the work of the Holy Spirit in the churches in the modern day, the large mega churches that did not have church membership, that did not have accountability except maybe a small group that met for 9 months and then disbanded, was an evangelical halfway house to apostasy. And I've been saying that for probably 14 years of this ministry. Where there is not the accountability, where there is no church membership, except maybe a small group that meets for 9 months and then disbands, you know how that goes. You know how that goes, Steve. I mean, you get together in a little 9-12 month session, and then everybody's excited for a while, but nobody really wants to submit. Nobody really wants to love the brethren over the long haul through all the conflicts that arise in the church. You know, they're not willing to go the extra mile. They're not really willing to forgive their brothers and sisters 490 times a day and submit to leadership in the church. They're just not really willing to continue in the church membership. They're not willing to submit themselves to accountability. It's really just the evangelical halfway house to apostasy. And I think it serves a function for people leaving the church. It's a stopping off place for people used to attend a small church, a church where there was some reasonable accountability and where there's some walking in the light as he is in the light. There's some transparency going on. You know, they wanted to get away from that and they wanted to get into the mega church. Now, again, I'm not just talking about, you know, every large church is a church that avoids church membership and accountability. I did say that. I said there are large mega churches where there is not very careful church membership. There's not much accountability. Nobody hardly knows anybody else. The elders don't know everybody that are under them by their name. They haven't met up with them on a weekly basis to make sure that they're walking with Christ, and they're not shepherding these peoples on a weekly basis. They don't even know their names. That's the problem. I'm saying that's the problem. That's the evangelical halfway house to apostasy. And in the end, Steve, in the end, and these words actually comfort me. They're humbling, but they do comfort me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's the passage on the fire. You know, the fire will tell. The fire will always tell. You know, we're doing our work, you know, in our little community here. We have our Bible studies. We have our 5 or 6 prayer meetings. You know, we have our eldership meetings. We visit our people. We preach the word of God. We have our, you know, 2.5 hour service on a Sunday, and then our Sunday evening service where we get back together for some prayer time. You know, we do some work in our community as well, as I know you guys do as well, mm-hmm. in your church community. And so, you know, Jesus holds us to account. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 3, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So our foundation is Christ. Our foundation is the gospel. Our foundation is our love for Christ and our commitment to Christ. But now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work is each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will receive suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So there it is. The fire will tell. The fire will tell. The fire will tell. And in the end, you know, what happened to Schuller? What happened to Schuller?
And
what happened to Swaggart Cathedral?
Yeah.
What happened to Norman Vincent Peale? Well, I mean, he influenced President Trump, but that was about it. Norman Vincent Peale told Phil Donahue, it's not necessary to be born again. You have your way to God, I have mine. I found eternal peace in the Shinto shrine, been to Shinto shrines, and God is everywhere. Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere. 1966, Billy Graham said of Schuller, I don't know of anyone who's done more for the kingdom of God than Norman Ruth Peale, or have meant any more in my life for that encouragement they have done given for me. So he says that of Norman Vincent Peale. At the end of the day, you know, what has Schuller done? What has Norman Vincent Peale done? What has Billy Graham done? The fire will tell. The fire will tell. The fire will tell. And as you said, what has happened to Jim Baker or Jimmy Swaggart or Billy James Hargis or Peter Popoff? These guys were very big in the 60s, 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
They were very, very big. But where are they today? They burned out. Their ministries averaged 20, 30 years. Their influence dissipated, no real fruit out of their ministries over the years. The facades of Western Christianity is sort of coming down, sort of collapsing all around us. There's another article, The State, a magazine called The State. It's a secular magazine that did an article on the South Carolina churches.
Yeah.
And I just refer to this and says at least 97 Protestant churches across South Carolina have closed since 2011. 97 churches have closed.
Wow.
From the Lutheran, Presbyterian, United Methodist, Southern Baptist denominations. And the 12% decline of Southern Baptist church membership in 4 years. And based on 12% decline in 4 years, 16 years, Southern Baptist membership in South Carolina will be half of what it was.
Wow.
16 years earlier.
That's
in 16 years, Southern Baptist church membership will be cut in half. That's where we are right now, my friends. Right now, American church membership collapsing all around us. American evangelicalism collapsing. And by the way, PCUSA membership also cut in half in just 4 years.
That's significant, too.
I'm sorry, I mean, cut by 15% in four years. In 12 years, PCUSA membership will be cut in half.
Okay.
Okay, so PCUSA membership, Presbyterian Church USA membership, will be cut in half in 12 years based on the last four-year record for the PCUSA. And based on the last 4 years for the Southern Baptist, its membership will be cut in half in the next 16 years. And that's where we are right now, my friends. According to the article, the South is slowly catching up to the national and European trends, shifting toward what many are calling the post-Christian culture, that is a society with characteristics no longer dominantly rooted in Christianity. Now, my question, first of all, how do we deal with this apostasy? Those of us who are left, those of us who are still hanging on to Jesus, those of us who are crying out to Christ and saying, Jesus, we need your Holy Spirit in us. We want to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And Jesus, we need your salvation from sin. We need your forgiveness from our sins. Only by virtue of your death and your resurrection. Friends, what do we do? What do we do? Well, the first thing we do is we need to be very humble. Absolutely humble. We need to realize the brokenness of the American church. The American church is so broken, so broken, so broken. We are weaker than we think we are. There's something about big buildings, big programs, and the mega church that made us feel fakey like we were something. It was the bodies, bucks, and buildings. It was the crowd attracts a crowd mentality that made us feel like maybe there was something going for us. Friends, that's American Christianity. And now, the fact of the matter is, we aren't what we think we are. Brother Un, the Chinese Christian who came over here and took a look at what we were doing during all of the persecution, all of the church growth, the other church growth program that was going on in China, mm-hmm. the other church growth program.
Okay, yes.
There was the Bill Hybels church growth program, and then there's the Brother Un church growth program, where these guys were being whipped and beat and at some points martyred for their faith. Okay, there's two kinds of church growth programs going on. Brother Un comes into America and says this, silver and gold, these American churches have plenty of it, but they cannot rise up and walk. Remember how Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. If American churches could look somebody in the eye, a cripple standing outside the church, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, and that man would rise up and walk. If we began to see, if we began to see the power of the Holy Spirit of God coming down upon the preaching of the Word of God, again, we are subject to the power of God. We need the power of God working. We can't allow for the power of man's rhetoric, the power of man's programs to accomplish these things. We need something 10 million times more powerful than that. Friends, We need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the basic gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the power of the gospel realized in people's lives. And we've talked about this a lot. And let me just say this, that if we don't have the power of God visiting our church such that we are watching universes leap into existence and dead people rise up and walk, if we are not seeing that power of God palpably before us, then we need to go and wait. We need to go and pray, or we need to go and attend a church where the power of God really is showing up and lives are really being transformed and universes are leaping into being and people are rising up and walking. And we're actually seeing dead men walking and living and breathing. Friends, we need to see resurrections in our churches. And if we're not seeing, let's be very honest, are we seeing the resurrection? If we're not seeing the resurrection, we're not experiencing and feeling the power of God within ourselves, and we're feeling the life of God, the spiritual resurrection of Jesus Christ in ourselves, then we need to wait and pray and hope for the salvation of the Lord to come and to visit us. It's the power of God unto salvation that is the true gospel. The gospel where Jesus really does come and die on the cross for our sins, rise again on the third day, that we might ourselves follow him and rise and walk in newness of life. Friends, that is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's not happening, if we're not getting a new identity in Christ, if we have to walk around and say, I'm still an LGBT, or that's my identity, if we're still saying, I am the old man, I'm walking around as the old man, and I have no power in myself, I have nothing, I have no grace of God working within me to overcome sin in my lives, then, friends, we need to pray that God would bring that grace that can overcome sin and enable us to walk without condemnation, knowing that we are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That's where we need to be. That's the gospel we need to receive. We need to receive the gospel that really forgives us of our sins, that really enables us to walk in newness of life, that really sets us free. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. That's the gospel that we need to wait for. That's the gospel we need to look for. That's the gospel we need to preach in our churches. Well, I think that's where we need to be. And Steve, I think we also need to be very strong and very courageous and preach the Word of God straight and true. And don't worry about offending people in an age in which there is massive apostasy on this side and that side. I love the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off in the midst. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. You know, let's submit ourselves to the suffering and to the persecution, but let's preach the Word of God straight and true with faith and with courage, and let's not be afraid of offending those with the itching ears. That, my friends, I believe is the marching orders for us that are dealing with this outrageous apostasy that is bringing down so much of the evangelical church in America today. Well, I hope this encourages you, that is, fills you with courage, fills you with strength, encourages you back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God as we face the challenges that we deal with in our day. Please do not give up hope. Realize that there is so much happening in the kingdom of God, but move ahead in faith and in hope and in confidence in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. The true gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Well, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, I would encourage you to our Bible study guides. Be sure to teach the Word of God to your children as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. Grab copies of our Bible study guides at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.